Chris DeCero, poker analyst, joins us in studio to talk a little bit about this. So what exactly happened the other day to Full Tilt in layman's terms?
In layman's terms, somebody squawked. From the inside, it appears that someone with considerable access informed the DOJ of some of the goings-on that had been happening. And the cold, hard truth about it was essentially that Full Tilt Poker for the past several years has been conducting a massive fraud where they were taking deposits from players and paying out the owners, the varied 20-some-odd owners of the company, incredible amounts of money to the tune of, you know, some of the principals were getting $40+ million.
Right.
And they didn't keep any of it. Over $400 million in deposits paid out directly to the owners of the company with no intention of ever paying the players back and some attempts to actually cover it up. People making inquiries to the company saying, you know, what's the story here? Is my money safe? And Full Tilt responding with emails saying, no, we keep your funds segregated and it's protected and you don't ever have to worry about it, which was essentially just an outright lie to continue to entice people to deposit at the site.
So this money is paid out. So there was insufficient money kept in reserve to pay the players. Yeah, if they requested their money.
Yeah, essentially what the poker sites are supposed to do, depending on the specifics of their gaming license, is they are supposed to keep the funds segregated from player deposits. They're essentially supposed to act exactly as a bank and keep the money separate so that if a player asks for his money that's in his account, he has access to it. Full Tilt not only didn't keep it segregated, they didn't keep it at all.
Well, okay, so they don't keep it, but was there evidence that people tried to withdraw money from their account and there was no money to cover it? I mean, how finally did this thing, did they go to the line?
Well, truthfully, I mean, it looks as if there's reference in the DOJ's documents, and I read through the 100 pages or so of it yesterday when this came out. There's reference to a Full Tilt player, pro, and owner who essentially gave them some access. It looks as if, and truthfully, with the amount of money that they're talking about, that this player owner was paid, which was over $40 million, it would appear that it's very likely to be Phil Ivey. You know, there's no confirmation.
We don't know who it is yet.
But Phil Ivey may be the person who spilled the beans on Howard Lederer, Chris Jesus Ferguson, Ray Furse, so some pretty significant names in the poker industry are the people that are being that were named yesterday in the DOJ's documents as having taken this money and knowingly covered it up. And I mean, they're referring to a Ponzi scheme. It's not technically a Ponzi scheme because Full Tilt Poker would have been a viable operating company making money if they just had stopped stealing the money.
Okay, so you have a group of about 20 partners. Is Full Tilt publicly traded?
No.
So it's a private corporation?
Yes.
Private corporation is essentially entitled to do whatever it wants with its profits. The issue here is not that they disseminated their profits to the shareholders, but rather they were disseminating the money that should have been kept in order to cover all the potential returns to the players. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Do we know whether Full Tilt Poker actually was profitable?
Yeah, it was definitively profitable. The amount of money that they raked was sort of commonly understood that this was a company that was making millions of dollars in profit on a monthly basis based on the amount of rake that they were pulling simply from the action. You can tell, you just have to be able to look at the action and realize it. They were a very profitable company, which is why they were trying so desperately to hang on after the events in April to sell themselves off, because as a business, they were viable. But what happened is they were stripping the shelves of the store.
Where's Full Tilt Poker registered?
Ireland, with the Alderney Gaming Council, which has since revoked their license.
So are they operational at this point?
No, they're not. The other two companies that were named in the original Black Friday of April, PokerStars and Ultimate Bet has ceased to exist as well. And PokerStars has landed, you know, fully on their feet, paid back all the monies to their players, essentially, and have continued to operate and sort of rebounded very nicely, with the exception that their owner, Issei Scheinberg, who's a Canadian, has heated up the private jet and disappeared to some tropical location where he cannot be reached.
Are people like Phil Ivey and Howard Lederer and Jesus Ferguson at risk of having to flee justice? Did they, by accepting these payments, did they effectively break the law?
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, it seems like the DOJ, the Southern District DOJ office in New York State, won't be long till they're laying those charges specifically against the individuals. It's very black and white. Howard Lederer, the problem with the whole Full Tilt thing was that Ray Bittar was named as the CEO of the company, but everyone knew in the poker industry since the inception of Full Tilt that Howard Lederer and Chris Ferguson and some other lesser players were in fact, the owners of the company. They were the people that put their money in, and they were the owners of the company. Lederer has long been known to be making the day-to-day decisions of how the company operates, and now they have the emails, the testimony, I would assume, from some insider that he actually was the person making those decisions. And he personally withdrew over $40 million from the company over the past several years. And there's just no doubt whatsoever that it was done fraudulently.
Where's Ivy? Ivy's the highest profile guy in this group. I mean, Howard Lederer's been around for a long time, and he's won bracelets, and you know, he's a significant player, and so is Jesus Ferguson. These are big name players. But Phil Ivey is considered the premier player in the world today. Where's Ivey in this mess?
Ivey has been invisible. He has not played. He hasn't been playing in the world. He didn't play at all in the World Series of Poker. Was very conspicuous in his absence. Was reported to have made trips to Ireland to help try and convince Full Tilt, the ownership group, to sell the company so that they could get back operational and he could, I would assume, resume making money from the company. He did file at one point a lawsuit against Full Tilt. Full Tilt threatened a countersuit saying that he owed them money from loans, which is one of the reasons that it appears that the player that's named in these documents, the inside player that gave the information, would appear to be Ivy, because there's reference to not only him making an exorbitant amount of money, $40 million, but also owing a considerable amount of money in loans to the company, which really points to Ivy as being the only likely person. And he's just completely disappeared, has not played, hasn't really been seen much of, as has Lederer, as has Ferguson.
Is there a chance these guys will disappear?
I think there's a significant chance. I mean, you're talking about the original indictments. Basically, the argument was going to be from the poker companies saying that the UIGEA from 2006, which was the act that made the transactions illegal, was, you know, unfair to start with, and it forced the companies into sort of the money transaction fraud that they were originally accused of. But this is out and out a fraud on a very large level. I mean, you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. And if these players have $40 million in their pockets, I think, you know, there are very comfortable existences to be had in Malta and Gibraltar and these places where there's a big poker industry, and you know, there's lots of places to sort of hang out and not worry about the U.S. extraditing you, because there's no policies for it. So right. I think fleeing wouldn't surprise anybody. I don't think this is something that you can fight.
This kind of turns the live poker business and the TV poker business upside down, though. I mean, if all these guys bail, if you take Ivy and Ferguson and Lederer and others out of the mix, I mean, these are significant names in the poker business.
They are, and I think that the deeper ramifications are the fact that this was after the Black Friday in April. There was a real sense of, like, we're just heading towards legislation now. They're going to regulate it. The government's going to take control of it in the U.S. It'll be linked to land-based casinos.
Right.
So, you know, Steve Wynn would partner with an online company.
Right.
Wynn would have their own online poker site, and that would be the way that it would go. This is a monumental change, because all those charges for the money laundering and the payment processors were sort of debatable as to whether they were, you know, real serious crimes. But this is an out-and-out attempt to defraud people, and this is exactly what the fear is with offshore gaming companies, is that there's no recourse. I mean, you essentially have no, as a player, you lose your money, you're screwed. What are you going to do?
Well, this is what I was going to ask you. So let's suppose I have X amount, doesn't matter, X amount of dollars on in credit with Full Tilt. I'm never getting that money, am I?
Very unlikely. You would be hoping essentially for, you know, a knight in shining armor to come in and buy the company to gain the players lists, because there'd be value in that. So if you had $1,000 on deposit at Full Tilt and someone came to you and said, you know, dear former Full Tilt player, we're willing to give you 50 cents on the dollar.
If you stay with us.
If you stay with our new company.
Right.
There is a little bit of value in that, but I think now even that's gone because no one will want to be affiliated or associated with the name.
So there was no money to pay off any players?
They found $60 million out of over 400.
They found $60 million. So, and what, how much is owed to the existing players? Like, how do we know what the...
The number in the United States is the number that we know, which is $130 million.
So there's 60 right now. There is $130 million in the U.S. is owed.
Is owed in the U.S. Worldwide, the DOJ is estimating the number to be over $400 million.
Wow. And there's only 60 sitting there.
Yeah. And there's a lot of guys driving Bentleys and with big houses in Vegas that the money has been pulled out. And there's more. There's no doubt that there's more to come. I think you're going to see more of the names of the big names in poker, you know, the Phil Gordons, the Jennifer Harmons, the original principal owners, the original team Full Tilt players who were given an ownership stake in this company. It's going to come down to whether they had any knowledge of whether this was going on or not. And if they did, then it's going to be trouble for all of them because they all got paid significant amounts of money.
Well, yeah. But the question is, and there are players working for legitimate sites, Party Poker, Poker Stars, that are paid handsomely to endorse and represent the company, correct?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there can be an argument from some of these players that they had no way of knowing and no knowledge of what the actions of the company were. They received checks commensurate with the services that they provided, which may have been nothing more than showing up a couple times a year to do commercials and sticking a logo on their chest when they go and play in TV events, right?
And I don't think there's any doubt that out of that group of 20 or so players, there are going to be some who legitimately had no knowledge that this was being done. But there are going to be others who do. It's pretty tough to collect $40 million in pay over 3 years and not question some of where it's coming from.
Yeah, we talked before, and you mentioned a few minutes ago, the likelihood, the belief, the general belief that the United States government was going to reopen the doors to poker in the U.S. They had shut it down by forcing the credit card companies not to accept transactions that involved the poker players. So there was this belief that this was going to they're going to reinvent the wheel and legalize it, if you will,
sure,
and legitimize it. Does this set that process back at all?
Yeah, I think absolutely it does. First of all, just the optics of it are monumentally destructive to the industry. You have to have faith that money that you deposit anywhere is going to be safe.
Right.
And I know that the brick and mortar casinos were always thinking of a strategic alliance with certain online poker companies because they have the software, they have the technology, they have the know-how, they have the player base, most importantly.
Yeah, well, that's the most important.
You know, you need player liquidity. You have to have players online to play against, otherwise you don't have a site. That they were going to lean on these companies to do that for them. But they're all offshore. So, you know, with the exception of a few like Party Poker, the publicly traded ones that, I mean, you can make the assumption that because they're very public in what they're doing, you know what's going on.
And because they pulled out when
yes.
You know, they were the one major site that pulled out of the United States.
Of the United States, yeah.
And with the belief that they would be given favored nation status if and when the United States legalized the poker industry once again.
And as a result...
They may still,
but I think this is definitively a setback. The people that were lobbying for this, you know, there'll be some spin to try and say this is exactly why we need to regulate this and why the government needs to be in control of it. But I think that now people are just going to distance themselves. I mean, you don't want to be associated with Enron.
No. Well,
and this is essentially is what's going on.
Good of you to join us. Thanks. Nice to see you.
Happy to do it. Wish it was better news.
Yeah. Chris DeCero, poker analyst, with us here.